The reading for today, on which Paul's sermon is to be, is taken from the book of the Acts, chapter 18, beginning to read at verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scripture that Jesus was the Christ. And now from Acts chapter 19, starting at verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Do you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today we are continuing our series Exploring with the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, Phil looked at the work of the Holy Spirit explained by Jesus to his disciples in John 16. Last week, Charles told us about the difference between the baptism of John and that of Jesus. The latter invoked fire, and we've got the fire. Thank you very much. Bless you. I want to, in my last sermon, when we were just beginning our series on the Holy Spirit, I ended up by saying, God's got more. And you agreed with me, didn't you? Well done. Today I want to try and explain how I came to that conclusion. And today's reading, particularly the one from Acts 19, maybe will be a little bit of a trigger for us. So Paul came to Ephesus, and there he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit." I want to give you a little bit of testimony. Was anybody around in 1984? Oh, that's good. Good. In 1984, I was 36 years old, so you can calculate how old I am now, and I'd been a Christian for 22 years. I grew up in the Methodist Church, and we were worshipping at that time in Bar Methodist Church on the north side of Harrogate, and Sheila and I were leading a young people's group, which was pretty dynamic, and we'd come to the end of our tether. At least we'd come to the end of our resources. We didn't seem to have anything else that we could teach them. What could we do? Added complication was that we were preachers, and on Pentecost Sunday that year, 1984, I was due to preach in Grove Road Chapel on, guess, the gift of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. So I'm preparing this in midweek, and I'm thinking to myself, yes, I understand these words. I understand the prophecy from Joel, which we will read in a couple of weeks' time. But I can't speak with any conviction about the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. Fortunately, we had some very good friends, Simon and Helen, who were with us in that church. And they were just the most beautiful couple. They were singers, and they just made sweet music and spoke sweet words into our hearts, particularly about the Holy Spirit. So over a period of months, they'd lent us books, and they had taken us to different meetings, and we'd heard more and more about the Holy Spirit. So I'm beginning to prepare my sermon on the Tuesday, and I get maybe two-thirds of the way through, and I can't finish it. I don't know what to say. So I say to God, I just settle into our bedroom, and I say to God, please help me, Lord. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't really understand what it means, but I need more of you to be able to preach this message with conviction on Sunday. Please fill me with your power. Nothing happened. So I was very frustrated, and I went to bed that evening, and just before I went to bed, it was as if God said to me, why do you want to be filled with my Holy Spirit? And I realized that as I'd asked earlier in the day, I'd asked for power for myself. And God said to me, that's not the way it works. I will give you what I want to give you, and then I will ask you to use it as I want you to use it. So the next day I went back to prayer, and God gave me three signs which seemed to be saying to me, yes, I have cleansed you. I have brought the flame, the holy fire, into your life. And I'm bringing now the wind of the Holy Spirit. I went down and I talked to Sheila, because a few days earlier she had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And she said, yes, you need to believe that it has happened. So I went on and I prepared my sermon. I tell you, it was the most dynamic sermon I'd preached up until that time, because the Holy Spirit had come in and filled me with his presence. It wasn't the end of my troubles. It wasn't the end of him filling me, because that needs to happen periodically. But it was the beginning of being fuller, certainly, of God's Holy Spirit. As we were exploring during that period, we went to a lot of meetings, and one particularly wise guy gave some very important advice to the people who he's speaking to. I think it was David Pawson, who some of you might know. He said, it's important that you get the balance right between the Spirit and the Word. Because too much of the Word, and you will dry up. Too much of the Spirit, and you will blow up. But the right amount of Spirit and Word, and you will grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've tried to follow that, Sheila and I, and those who've worked with us, as we have followed Jesus throughout our lives. So let's turn now to the scripture. Have we got the clicks? Yes, we have got the clicks. Well done. Remember our starting point last week. John the Baptist told his followers, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So that's our starting point. Baptism of Jesus, of water, and baptism of the Holy Spirit. Coming together to empower a person. And then Jesus teaching his disciples. We read a little bit of 14, and we read a little bit of John 16. And in the middle of 16, it tells you, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Parakletos to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And we talked about the fact that the different translations use the word counselor and helper and advocate, different translations of this Greek word, the Spirit of Truth. And then the resurrected Jesus appears to his disciples and gives them a promise. He says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So that's the end of Luke and then the beginning of the Acts. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father has promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, that word for power that Jesus used is dynamis. Do you recognize that? Dynamite. The power that God wants to give you is the same sort of power as there is in dynamite. And sure enough, several days later, on the life-changing day of Pentecost recorded in Acts in chapter 2, it happened. The disciples and the world were changed forever. And the record of the work of the Holy Spirit through the disciples in growing the early church is recorded in great detail and in great drama in Luke's second volume. So there are 64 references in the Acts of the Apostles to the work of the Holy Spirit. Many of them refer to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And of course that relates to being baptized in the Holy Spirit, because baptism implies complete dunking, complete immersion and drenching. So today I have picked out 6 references from Acts. You might like to follow them in your Bibles. And these are references which I think are particularly relevant to our reflections today. So if you turn to Acts and chapter 6, verse 3, the choosing of the 7. So the disciples, the apostles, are preaching, and they don't want to be distracted by administration. So they say, verse 3, "Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word." Their proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and they chose 6 others. But you see, they wanted people who were full of God, full of the Holy Spirit. And then if we turn over to Acts and chapter 8, the church has been persecuted, but in Samaria it is very active. So if we turn to chapter 8 and verse 14, "When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." And then if we turn over to Acts and chapter 9, Saul had been persecuting the church, and on one of his travels he had been confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord had appeared to him in a bright, blinding light, and he had become blind. And God had spoken to one of his followers, Ananias, and told him to go and talk to Saul. So in 9 and verse 17 of chapter 9, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." Peter receives a vision. At the same time, a Roman soldier, Cornelius, is given a word: "Send for Peter and bring him back to your home." Chapter 10 and verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, so he's speaking to Cornelius and his friends, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then the reading that we had today. This wise man, Apollos. Chapter 18 and verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Some people think that Apollos wrote the book of Hebrews. And if you read the book of Hebrews, you can see the wisdom that Luke talks about as being in this man, Apollos. But at that time, he didn't know the totality of God and what God wanted to give to him. And then 19 and 2. Paul goes to Ephesus, and there he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe?" "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "What baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on him, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men. And of course, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, we read in the Acts of the Apostles, incredible things happened in and through the apostles. Peter preaches so powerfully that 3,000 people believe. Isn't that wonderful? If we could just preach and all those people would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with his Spirit. Peter and John meet a lame man at the game. Beautiful. He's been lame from life. They have faith. They have power. They have authority through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. They command him to get up, and he does. He is healed. Stephen testifies so powerfully before the Sanhedrin that he's stoned to death. Saul, who minded the stoners' coats, is transformed to the powerful Paul, traveling and preaching and ministering and writing such deep theology in Jesus' name. In one of his letters, Paul gives some very helpful advice. Ephesians 5 and verse 18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now that verb, be filled, is in fact a continuous verb. We don't have the equivalent really in English, but what it means is be being filled. Be being filled. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It needs to be a continuous, or at least a continual process. Why is that? Well, because we leak. Let me give you a little bit of a visual. You and I, within us, have a spirit. But for many people, the spirit is just empty and flaccid, like that. For others, it gets full of rubbish. But what God wants to do is to breathe his Holy Spirit into us. Imagine somewhere in you, there is this void, and God wants to blow his Spirit into you. Sometimes it's quite hard to get started with a balloon, isn't it? I gave this one a few blows to start it off. But you see, that is only partially full. And if we leak, it's going to be empty again. What God really wants to do is to fill us. That's a bit better, isn't it? Can you imagine the Holy Spirit filling your spirit within you? And then He wants you to leak. He wants you to give of his love to other people. Sometimes it might be noisy. Sometimes it might be violent. And then God wants to fill you again. And then give out of his Holy Spirit to the people that we meet. I missed a couple of clicks. So why might we not be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, before conversion, our spirits are susceptible to every spiritual whim. That means for some people, they are influenced by evil through the occult, through films, through violent books, through games, or through other people who might not be in tune with the Lord. For others, the spirit is just empty and waiting for something to affect them. But at conversion, we thank God that he loves us so much. We ask him to forgive us, and he empties our spirit of anything that shouldn't be there. And then he fills us. Maybe just like that. But hopefully, he fills us full with his Holy Spirit. This is what God graciously does to us and with us by his Spirit. As his Spirit comes and occupies, hopefully, and fills our spirit and begins to change us from within to make us more like Jesus with his fruit growing in us. Often our spirits are like that balloon, not open to the full wind of the Holy Spirit. I came across several reasons why this might be. It might be because of lack of a correct teaching. Sadly, in the Methodist Church when I was growing up, there was hardly anything said about the Holy Spirit. There might be one sermon per year on Pentecost, but it was relatively low key. We need more teaching, more learning about the Holy Spirit. It may be a lack of desire. We may be thinking, I'm a Christian, I'm okay, thank you. And that was me when I was 20 and when I was 28. Two people came alongside me and said, Paul, you're going on with the Father, you know Jesus, but you're not full of the Holy Spirit. And I said, I'm okay, thank you. It may be fear or apprehension. What will God do with me? I'm a bit scared. But Jesus tells us, the Father only wants to give us good things. If you ask, he will give to you his Holy Spirit. It may be inadequacy. It's all right for God to give his Holy Spirit to the super Christians, the one who've got study Bibles, who know that 2 Chronicles comes after 1 Chronicles, and it's in the Old Testament. But not me, not little old me. Well, I've got news for each one of us. God loves us more than we can ever think of or imagine. He wants his very best for each one of us. Jesus calls it life in all its fullness. And he does want to use little old you and little old me to do his kingdom work and to bring glory to our loving Heavenly Father. So today, I want to encourage every one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It may be the first time that you've allowed him to fill your spirit. It may be that you need topping up. It may be that you need just a bit of oomph from the Holy Spirit so that you can give out to the people around you. Please stand. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. This is the starting point of life, that you love us so much and you want to give us good things. We ask that by your Holy Spirit You will move amongst us. You will fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. And you will use us to bring your love to the people around us. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us afresh. You might like to just hold your hands out as a sign to God that you are open. So may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.